This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Only thing is, we missed it by one day. 21st time in September.
I played it yesterday too.
Did you? I couldn't remember. Whoa. Great song at any time.
It was talking about last night, though, so.
Yeah,
we're kind of in the in-between
here. We're kind of in that gray area. Hey, hour number two starts now. Live here on FanRunRadio.com. Click that live link powered by MyBookie. We're in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Up at FM 105.7 AM 1340. As always, always on your Periscope if you want to follow along. Hour number two, everyone smile. We'll be up at Fox Sports Knox. That's on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you like free items, I don't know why you're waiting to download it, but download it now. The Fan Run Radio app. It's free 99 in your app store, wherever apps are sold for you. Looking around the league, we got some pretty decent games, I guess, going into this weekend of SEC football. Tennessee gets into their opener. Up in segment number two, Charlie's going to have his updated SEC power rankings for you. I know that's always a treat for us every week. Charlie works very hard on these power rankings. Works very, very hard to keep you guys in tune. But now it's time to look at Tennessee's 2022 football schedule. Let's not put it off any longer. Your Vols start off the season against a little Maction, a little Mac opponent. And then they will also play Pittsburgh. You'll go to Hinesfield. That is September 10th. September 3rd, you play Ball State. That'll be here in Knoxville. That's your Maction. You'll go travel on the road to Hinesfield. You will come back and play Akron in Knoxville on the 17th, which was previously supposed to be the Army game.
But they very, very glad that we got Army off the schedule.
Mighty got upset by Army. There's no lie about that. Tennessee would have paid Army $1.4 million for that game, but instead will pay $500,000 not to play the game, as stipulated in the game agreement signed in 2016 after the former administration and coaching staff worked to get out of it. So the game contract with Akron was signed in February by Dr. Danny. Akron will get $1 million from the Tennessee game when they head to Knoxville. So the net loss is only about $100,000 to make that schedule change. So not too much on the
financial
side. I would have
paid $1 million. $1 million to not play Army.
Schedule change. So September 17th, like I said, will be versus Akron here in Knoxville. September 24th, you will come back. You'll again play at home, and you will play the Florida Gators. That's right. You will play Florida at home in 2022, as we all know that. Your fourth game of the season, as that's where it's stuck at now. Used to be the third game, but now we throw a non-conference.
Third Saturday in September.
Yeah, now we throw a third non-conference opponent there before we play Florida. October 1st, you will have an open date. So that will be the bye week for the Vols. And then, big game right here, on the 8th, you will travel to Baton Rouge.
I want to go to that game.
That'll be a good game.
I do too. Maybe we should all
take a trip. I know a guy down there.
I know some guys too.
If their coaching staff doesn't get turned over between now and then, I got a guy that can put us up for the weekend, get us some dates.
Nice. Yeah, I got a friend who he lives in Nashville now, though, but he's still got a bunch of friends down there. He went to LSU Law School. So, yeah, you'll travel to Baton Rouge.
Their coaching staff gets fired, though. It's a no-go. He's gone.
It's a no-go if they get fired. You'll travel to Baton Rouge to play LSU. Thoughts on that?
Love it.
I think more people are just scared of the name. I saw a lot of people not happy about it. LSU is not a good team right now. They're a bottom half SEC West team.
And if they fire their coach after this season, too, think about the at least take them a couple years with a new coaching staff, you would think, to get it rolling again. So it'd be a prime opportunity for Tennessee to go down there and maybe pull up an upset.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very pleased to be playing LSU right now.
And even if their coaching staff stays on, are we really scared of Ed Orgeron?
We're either playing lame duck Coach O or first year somebody.
That's very true.
I'd rather play lame duck Coach O, obviously, because LSU is the kind of school that they can have success pretty immediately sometimes. I mean,
and a first-year coach comes in there with a lot of energy, changing the culture, so that also might be tough. That'd be a pretty amped-up game for the LSU faithful. You'll travel back to Knoxville, play Alabama on October 15th. Nobody's too excited about that. Still,
I'm so excited.
I mean, I generally will go to the Alabama game, but I don't get excited for it. I like to go to the Alabama game when it's here at home. I've never been to Tuscaloosa.
Alabama, they host A&M before they come play us, so at least there's that.
Okay. October 22nd, you will also stay in Knoxville. You will play UT Martin. Should be a dub. You'll play Kentucky the week after that at home. Let's see. 8 of your 10 SEC games, I believe, are at – let's see. 1, 2.
Well, you play 8 SEC. Eight of your 10 games are at home. Of your 12 games are at home.
Yeah, just like, 8 of your 12.
Actually, 7 because you're only playing 3 non-conference games.
8 of your 12 is what I meant. 8 of 12 are at home for you.
Is it only 7?
We have 7 this year. Or next year. 8 this year, 7 next year because we go on the road to Pitt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 7.
SEC split
7 of your 12 are at home.
And then non-conference is 3-1.
So 7 of your 12 games are at home. You'll get Kentucky at home as well. You won't have to travel to Kroger Field. On the 5th, you will travel to Athens to play Georgia. The 12th, you'll come back home to play Mizzou. And then a week later, you'll travel to South Carolina, and you'll end the season in Nashville playing Vandy.
Only one home game in the month of
you
November.
You get 6 of your first 8 games at Neyland Stadium, including the 3-game stretch at home in October. With your lone road games in that stretch, Pitt and at LSU.
I like the way it's
But you
set
only
up.
Play just one home game in November, and November is what they say. November is how they remember, something like that.
I like the way this schedule's set up because you only play one home game in November. Yeah, but you also only play one team that you don't consider or that you would even consider a challenge to Tennessee in November.
So looking at that schedule.
Vanderbilt can be considered a home game, kind of.
Yeah.
What kind of record are you thinking? Just looking ahead, I know that will obviously change in the off season, in a fall camp. It's going to change from here on out. But
2-10,
2-10. Wow.
Well, I'll take 3-9.
Wow.
You have some favorable things going on with your schedule, Florida. From like the LSU game, for example, LSU plays Auburn the week before. Alabama, they play A&M the week before. You get a bye before going to LSU. The week
8-4.
That's what my math just did too over here.
8-4.
8-4.
Okay.
Putting a stamp on it. Might change to 9-3. Who knows? I might just get wild with it.
Florida and Georgia play in Jacksonville the week before you play Georgia. I mean, there's a lot of teams on this schedule that are coming off big games the week before. Missouri hosts Kentucky before coming to Tennessee. South Carolina is at Florida before they play Tennessee. I mean, a lot of teams on the schedule are coming off a tough game, so that's nice. And that's a little added bonus, I guess. I'm more worried about Tennessee before I even think about next year's schedule, or Florida this weekend before we think about a record prediction for next week.
Of course, but we're looking at the schedule. You can throw a record down.
I don't want to.
We beat Pitt next year, right?
Yes.
Like, with all the talent that they're losing.
Definitely.
I mean, we looked at their roster, and their defense is all super seniors and seventh-year seniors.
We beat them
next
year.
Kenny Pickett's leaving.
Easy.
I sure hope so.
Should have beat them this year.
Should have. Beat them next year, though. I agree. You beat them. You beat Mizzou. South Carolina.
Be 3-0.
Vandy.
Hosting Florida.
Yep. I think Florida would be a tough one, but I feel a little bit better about it being at home. You beat LSU. Put it on paper.
Yes.
So there's 1, 2, 3. There's 4 games right there. I'm counting Florida's loss. UT Martin's 5 wins. Kentucky is 6. Missouri 7. South Carolina's 8. Dare I say it?
Don't do it, Chance.
Oh.
Who are you?
I'm feeling pretty good today. Vandy 9. 8-4, though. That's what I'm
when I with. When I joined the show, you were maybe the most negative person I've ever about met in my entire life.
Wow, and that is not true. And that is very disheartening. Not true. Yeah. I was only very negative about JG, and I was.
I mean, as it relates to Tennessee football, you were one of the most negative people I've ever met in my life, and now here we are. And you're picking 9-3.
High point of second year.
My brain hurts.
I said 8-4 though.
I mean, let's see.
One, the 9-3 was to be funny, but I say 8-4.
Ball State win, Pitt win, Akron win, LSU win. That's 4. UT Martin 5, Kentucky 6, Missouri 7, South Carolina 8. Van.
Oh. Oh, well, no, let's go.
I'm picking 6-6.
Oh. You're gonna drop a game to like Kentucky or.
He's on reverse psychology.
He's picking 5-7.
He's picking 5-7. But if they finish 9-3, he'll be like, well, I saw it all along.
I thought it could happen.
The potential was there.
You know, ask me in August 2022.
Okay. I'm saying 4 right now on record. I won't go any lower than 8-4. I can only go up from there. That's on wax.
8-4 should be the minimum expectation next year.
I agree.
Depending, I guess, how the rest of this season pans out.
Wow, you think 8-4 is going to be the minimum expectation following an 11-1 season, GP3? You think we're going to take that big of a dip?
Hey, it's like a roller coaster. It's ups and there's downs.
Life of the
What would you give to go 11-1 this year?
What would I give?
Would you cut off one of your middle toes?
What is it with the middle toe? I don't think so. I don't think I'm cutting off any of my toes. You need
balance. Need the middle toes for balance.
Really?
Like, do I get to
now,
go?
My brother cut off the one next to his big toe, and he was fine.
Do I get to go under anesthesia when they cut it off? Or, like, do I have to take a bone saw and, like, saw
it? You can do it either or.
They just numb it or something?
I mean, you can go. You can pay for the surgery and go under the
knife if I was having it done surgically, then, yeah, no question. I wouldn't even think twice about it. Because that would mean that we're beating 2 of Florida, Alabama, and Georgia. No, we're beating all of them.
We already have one loss. One loss is Pitt. That makes sense.
I was thinking of next year's schedule.
Yeah, I'd cut off the middle toe. Right here on the table, really, on Periscope.
I'd cut off my big toe.
You wouldn't ever be able to walk again.
I'd get a, what do you call it, a replacement? Just a,
like a prosthetic?
Yeah,
a
prosthetic big toe.
Yeah, my uncle's in prosthetics. I know a guy. He can hook you up. He's got performance ones,
and too. Is that true? If you don't have a big toe, you can't walk? I feel like that's just a myth.
I feel like that's not a myth.
I mean, you got 4 other toes.
Yeah, what do you need? The big toe's the most important by far.
Then how have we as a species not evolved to just having one giant big toe? What's the point of having the other 4?
Well, it's like a, you know, there's sexual attraction to feet that some people have, so that's
that has
why
nothing to do with
away.
Evolution.
Yeah, because it's like a biological thing. It's like attracting mates with toes.
That's like rare fetishes. That has nothing to do with evolution.
It's the most popular fetish in America. Rex Ryan has it.
Good for him.
Rex Ryan.
That still doesn't...
He loves feet.
Loves feet.
Rex Ryan.
He's also a Preds fan.
Y'all just keep saying
the Nashville Predators and and feet.
I don't know. I think Ryan. He could still walk without a big toe.
I don't think that's possible.
You can't.
Yeah, it's very important.
Why?
It's balance.
Because, like, that's like saying, like, you know, I could still write without a hand.
I could write without one finger. I could find a way around it.
Yeah, but you can't find, I mean, you could, like, no, you need it for balance.
Yes, but
it's
you
like
have 4 other
guiding,
toes.
It's like your guide toe.
Would the second toe not just, like, take over?
The second toe is pointless.
Well,
trust me. I've learned a lot about toes and their importance because of my brother's old injury. Like, you need the big toe back.
But how come I can lift my toes off the ground and walk barefoot? I'm not using my big toe then.
Is what a foot doctor
says. I mean, you could, like, I guess, like, wobble on the side of your foot awkwardly and have ankle problems the rest of your life.
Without the toes, a foot doctor explains that a person is very unlikely to walk naturally and balanced. While it may be possible to walk, run, and stand without toes, it may be very difficult for someone. The toes allow for a person to be on their feet naturally.
Well, that's
so it's pretty
all
important.
That's all your toes. I'm talking about losing one toe. The big toe.
Of all your toes, the big toes are the most important ones. They play the most critical role in maintaining your balance. They also bear the most weight when standing. Your big toes can bear almost twice as much weight as the other toes combined. Ooh, facts.
So what if I just cut off my 4 little toes and keep the big toe?
Why do you guys want to cut off a toe? For Tennessee to win 11 games? No.
Not even 12.
No.
Yeah. Not even like, a perfect
that's
record.
That's what I'm saying. Can you get national championship vibes?
For undefeated national championship, I'll adopt a child right now.
For 11 wins, you're making the playoffs in the SEC. If you have to beat if you beat Alabama, Florida, and Georgia.
But what if you lose in the SEC championship game?
Well, that's a risk I'm willing to take. If we beat those other three teams, I would like our chances.
So if Tennessee were to win a national title, you would adopt a child. That's where you're going with this.
No, I would adopt a child if it meant that Tennessee would go 15-0.
Oh, if you like genie in the bottle type stuff. Yeah.
So you would only help a child out if it benefits you.
Yeah, that's what I was
just thinking.
Well, really? Only if it benefits Tennessee.
Would it even benefit the child if I'm adopting it?
Benefit Charlie?
I am 22 and live paycheck to paycheck.
You just got a little guy with you.
Like the only benefit I can give that child is I am within walking distance of an elementary school. That is it.
865-546-8200. 546-8200 is our number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. Take a quick time out. Come back on the other side. We'll talk a little power rankings. Look at the rest of the SEC. This is the Blitz. This is Phantom Radio. Yeah. Welcome back to the Blitz live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, GP3 back behind the booth to answer your calls in the G3 Help Me hotlines, and intern Ryan doing all the things behind the scenes that you know nothing about. Time to get into some SEC power rankings. Charlie has updated power rankings for the last week, which was week 3, correct? That was our week 3 slate. Yep, week 3 slate. So now we're going into week 4 this week. You already know Tennessee plays Florida. Charlie, update us with your new SEC power rankings. Hit him, GP3.
Right before we get into power rankings, quick update from Dan Mullen. Says that Anthony Richardson is looking good. Haven't really opened him up a lot, but we've done more with him at practice this week than last week, and thinks he'll be ready to go Saturday.
Of course.
That,
the backup QB.
Smells like Emory Jones gets benched after they're tied with Tennessee 10-10 at half, and then Anthony Richardson in the second half has like 240 yards and 4 touchdowns. But anyway.
Richardson hasn't played a real defense yet. We'll see what happens.
Hey, we're fourth.
Hey, our defense is actually like graded out really well.
Fourth nationally, Pro Football Focus.
Coming in at number 14 this week, your Vanderbilt Commodores. Credit to them though, they're kind of fighting. They're showing a little bit more than they showed week 1. At number 13, South Carolina. Gotta feel bad for Shane Beamer and company. He was asked after
the
game
his response
about
was
Georgia's
so
defense,
crazy.
And he pretty much said, "Well, to be honest with you, they have about 100 five-star players on that defense."
I love it. I actually have it bookmarked.
Just continued to go on about how good that defense was. And it's like, you know, they have a 340-pound guy that runs as faster than any of us do.
Quickly, he said, well, Georgia's defensive line, they asked what are they doing to make things difficult. And he's like, they've got like 100 five-star football players. I just love it. They have a defensive lineman that weighs 340 pounds and runs better than everybody on this call.
I saw where Lane Kiffin.
They've got 5-star defensive backs. They're big and physical and fast. I mean, and you can just tell all his mannerisms. Other than that, they're really freaking good.
I saw where Lane Kiffin retweeted his quote and said, yeah, but have you tried playing Alabama?
He did.
Georgia's defense better than Alabama. We'll get to that soon.
His thing about like the fact of just how he was just so, I guess, like, not shocked, but like it first hitting
he
him
was just,
that
I mean,
he's an SEC football coach now.
Like, he was just like, guys, they have, what am I supposed to do? It was, I mean, that was the feeling. Like, I feel like he wanted to even go on to the point where it's like, hey, the guy that I started at quarterback was a GA for us a month ago. What am I supposed to do?
You remember in Friday
they
night?
They got 105 stars.
You remember the movie Friday Night Lights and Preach? I think that's what they call him, defensive line guy, and they're playing that last game. He's like, coach, they big, they fast, they big. He's like, son, you already said that one. That's what Billy Bob Thornton's like, you already told me they're big, son. He's like, they're big, they're fast, coach. Go ahead, Charlie.
Number 12, the Mississippi State Bulldogs, sitting at 2-1. But, I mean, the worst defense they're probably going to play this year is Memphis, or at least close to, and you know, they didn't really put up many points. Can't be encouraging. So Mississippi State at 12. At 11, the LSU Tigers. They bounce back against Central Michigan. Yeah. But they didn't really look all that great doing it, I guess. I mean, they looked better than they have at any point this year. And, you know, that UCLA loss looks a whole lot worse after we see how bad UCLA actually is when they played Fresno State and got beat. LSU is just not a very good football team. They are at 11. At number 10, your Tennessee Volunteers. They, you know, they have the potential to move up, I think, still. Also the potential to move down. There's still a lot of unknowns about them. Two of their three games, obviously, against inferior opponents. But we'll learn about a lot more about them this weekend in the Swamp. At number 9, Missouri.
Mizzou.
And this is a hard team to make. Or it's hard to figure out what to make of this team because their rush defense is just so bad. I mean, even against, you know, Southeastern Missouri this weekend, they almost gave up 300 yards on the ground. And that's not going to fly in the SEC. I mean, that's not. But they have a pretty dangerous offense, so we'll see what Missouri turns into this year. Number 8, the Kentucky Wildcats. They continue to fall for me.
Wow.
They were at number 3 at one point. But to me, I mean, that offense still has question marks. Will Levis still has question marks. They really should have, if not at least could have, gotten beat by Chattanooga this weekend. And the ground game really failed to get going. It failed to get going this weekend nearly as much as it should have. In week one, it was not as good as it could have been. And in week two against Missouri, now that kind of looks a little misleading because Missouri's giving up those kind of yards to FCS opponents and Kentucky. So they have a lot to figure out. At number 7, Texas A&M. Everyone was really high on them this year. Now they've lost Hayes King, but they look a little iffy still this year. I mean, the ground game isn't what people expected it to. You know, they're not really moving the ball well on offense at all. They were lucky to beat Colorado, and Colorado put up 62 total yards of offense this past week against Minnesota. So, I mean, that's the kind of competition that they played. A&M, I think, can continue to fall potentially if they don't get things together quick, but their defense has been better than people expected and is holding them together. Time for your top 6, Auburn at 6. Yeah, I think they proved to a lot of people that they actually can be a competitive football team this year. I thought that they were going to be a team that floats around 6 or 7 wins this season, but I think they can top that now. They went into a really hostile environment, played well. Bo Nix looked composed on the road, and I thought, you know, he played a pretty good football game too. Brian Harsin and this new offensive system looks to fit Bo Nix a lot better. And Auburn can sneak up on some teams this year. Coming in at number 5, the Arkansas Razorbacks. This is a good football team. I mean, this is a good football team. Treylon Burks looks fantastic. KJ Jefferson, a quarterback, starting to get figured out a little bit more and gain confidence. And it's a really physical, emotional, fast defense. This defense is great. We'll see Arkansas play A&M this weekend. I think A&M gets smoked by Arkansas. I really do. I think Arkansas wins this one by a couple possessions. But we'll see. At number 4, and really they could be number 3. You know, it depends on how you see things. But at number 4 for right now, Ole Miss. They look like a team that could win every game they play. I'm not saying they will, but, you know, they look like a team that is capable of beating anybody on their schedule, including Alabama right now. This offense is nutty. Matt Corral is your new Heisman favorite. They had almost 600 yards of offense at the end of the first half. They scored 60-plus points, and they beat a team that they were only favored by 14 against by, like, 35 in Tulane. So Ole Miss really looks impressive right now. At number 3, the Florida Gators. You know, credit where credit's due, they looked good. Against Alabama, obviously, only losing by 2 points. But at the line of scrimmage, they were excellent. They held Alabama under 100 yards rushing and ran for nearly 300 yards. And, you know, they left Nick Saban and Alabama asking a lot of questions about themselves. But You know, they were able to stymie Alabama's offense for most of the second half. And again, control the line of scrimmage, which is not something I expected from Florida. So they're up at number three for now. At number two, not Georgia, Alabama. Alabama, your second best team in the SEC. Miami, we know, is now not a good football team. Alabama's offense against Mercer, you know, didn't really look super crisp. They looked out of rhythm at times. Bryce Young still has yet to really, you know, take the next step. And those receivers aren't getting the same kind of separation we've seen in years past. Not to mention, a lot of questions as you just got beat at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football by Florida. And that leads to our number one team, Georgia. And part of that is, you know, I don't see any team in the country beating Georgia at the line of scrimmage this year, including Florida. So, you know, right now I think that kind of does set them apart from Alabama with the questions that Alabama currently has about their offense. I think Georgia is playing better football right now, even though their offense isn't necessarily a juggernaut. Their defense is just so much better than any other defense in the country that right now they deserve to hold on to that number one spot. Any questions, concerns, comments, disagreements?
No.
I think Ole Miss should be ranked ahead of Florida.
Oh.
I could get behind that, honestly.
You said Matt Corral is your leading Heisman odds right now.
Yeah.
I think I saw it last at plus 225.
I can cash out right now.
Oh, yeah, you did have him on your board.
I can cash out for like half of it
already. Not a pretty decent ranking. We'll see if Arkansas can live up to your expectations. That's probably the only one that I might be a little shaky on, but they pretty good team. Sam Pittman's doing some great things down there. 865-546-8200. That's our number. If you disagree with Charlie, chime on in. Give us a call. Otherwise, on the other side, we'll talk a little NFL headlines and a little college football headlines. Keep it locked here. This is The Blitz. This is Fandom Radio. Live here in the White Claw Heart Seltzer Studios. Couple minutes here. Couple segments left. Talk Sports is in the building. They'll have you covered from noon until 3. Followed by The Drive with Russell Smith and the Bear. Finish off with Will Stevens overtime 6 to 8. Do it all again starting at 7 a.m. 3 out tomorrow. But I need to let you know, too, this weekend, or not this weekend, but this Friday going into the weekend, there'll be a special live 6-hour fan run broadcast at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. That's right. This Friday from noon until 6 p.m., Talk Sports and The Drive will both broadcast live from the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. You have Talk Sports from noon until 3, The Drive followed by them 3 until 6. That's right there on the main drag in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall. That's right. Right there on the main drag in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall. It's going to be a tailgate party all day on Saturday up at the Axe House featuring 50 Cent Wings, $2 domestic drafts, and $10.99 for a 12-inch two-topping pizza. That's all day long. So come kick off the weekend with Fan Run Radio Friday from noon until 6 at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. That's right, the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. You not want to miss it. Hang out with all your favorite Fan Run Radio brethren. All the boys will be up there. It'll be a great time. Speaking of talking about headlines, heading into this last segment, a couple minutes here, go around the table. You know that USC job recently vacant. Likely not going to be the interim coach that they have right now. They're going to have a national search. And over the last couple of days, there's been more talk about one coach here in the South getting a little bit of plug. Even a former USC great plugged him. I'm talking about Reggie Bush giving the nod to Jackson State head coach and also Pro Football Hall of Famer Deion Primetime Sanders. But on Monday, it was Sanders responded to Bush's comments when Reggie Bush said, yeah, Coach Prime seems perfectly, or not perfectly, but he plugged him over the weekend. But it seems like Deion pretty locked in to Jackson State. Quote, I'm locked in. I'm thankful that Reggie mentioned me. I'm thankful that he thought much of our friendship that I could be a candidate or whatever. I'm appreciative of that. But I'm locked in, man. I'm locked in. I'm locked in. I'm right where I want to be. I'm elated. I'm coaching my sons. I'm loving this culture. I want to win. Wish we would have won this past Saturday at Louisiana Monroe, but I'm locked in. He does have both of his sons at Jackson State right now, HBCU. But kind of the speculation seems to be like maybe once they graduate, could be interesting to see if Deion continues his coaching career. Maybe jumps the ranks. There's always been a lot of talk him taking over at Florida State, even when they hired Mike Norvell. Norvell hasn't done too well lately. Depending on how the season turns out, Deion's name will probably be thrown about for that job again. What would we think about Deion at USC, though? If you were Deion Sanders, would you take a USC job if it was offered to you? Would you hold out for your alma mater, Florida State?
I'd hold out.
I would love for him to hold out for Florida State. And I think that maybe he could do some. He's recruited pretty well at Jackson State for what you can do there. Now, their success on the field, you can say it's been kind of up and down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know if he's proven that he's actually a good enough coach to hold or get hired at either of those places.
I'd agree with that, too. I don't think he's done enough.
Like, I don't think he's in a position to hold out for the Florida State job because I don't think he would be hired if it was open.
Well, there was a lot of talk about him last day. A lot of donors.
Yeah, I mean, some of the donors do, but, you know, donors.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they control a lot of those narratives.
They definitely have their impact, but at the same time, I mean, donors don't.
I think Florida State would hire him if Norvell doesn't work out. I don't think that they would make him wait for another job. I absolutely think that he would be one of their candidates that they'd at least listen to.
Yeah.
I think they would hire him. You know, he might be down the list a little bit. But I, in my heart, I think that Florida State.
Yeah,
would.
I think they'd listen to him potentially, but he needs to have more success at Jackson State too. And
how much success can you? I mean, yeah, maybe I guess he needs to win his conference and things like that, and you need to see that happen. But like compared to, you know, these other jobs, you can only have so much success there.
I mean, you can, you know, consistently go above 500 and win your conference. That would be a good start.
I don't think.
I mean,
USC's
got
a good fit.
He got this job. I mean, he got the job based on his merits as an NFL football player, and you know, I guess coaching high school All-American games. But you know, he's maybe needs more experience coaching before he just gets up to that level, especially with the pressure of being at your alma mater. I mean, he didn't even know who an all-pro safety was 3 years ago when he was bragging about how much he knew about football. So,
ah, come on,
yeah,
Titan fans.
That doesn't have any merit
to do
in
with
this
his
argument.
Coaching. You just want to throw that out there.
And then USC, you know, it's a flashy program. So if he would end up getting picked up by them, they're just going for the flashy brand name. You know, like they're going off of his celebrity status more from his actual resume.
That's what you need a little bit out there in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's nice to have a little bit of flair, that little bit of spunk. But
Pete Carroll had a little bit of that Hollywood flair.
Yeah, it would just be a dumpster fire if you're not careful. Just if you don't really, like, you know, look into what Sanders can actually do.
Let him go hire Matt Leinart. Take him away from the Fox broadcast.
Yeah, very true. Reggie, get all the boys. Yeah, I don't think USC would particularly be a great fit, though. I think that if I'm Deion, I'm at least holding out. I mean, you stay at Jackson State for the next couple of years, build something there. Continue to win your conference, and then maybe you get that Florida State call when Mike Norvell does not.
I just think for him it's more of a, instead of holding out, trying to become a good enough coach to be a candidate.
Well, again, I will say that I think he was definitely a candidate when they hired Norvell 2 years ago. It seems like that he was a legitimate candidate then, and then whatever reason they went opposite ways. So I'm not really saying like, oh yeah, I'm just saying like I think that he should hold out on any job that he's approached by and wait, maybe take your job, your alma mater.
No, this is a serious question, but like with Deion, do you think he is serious about coaching or do you think he did this just, you know, as like a side project? He wanted to coach his sons and he knew that he could get them at Jackson State. Like, do you think he's actually serious in the long term about being a football coach?
Yeah, I think so.
That is a really good question, though.
I mean, it seems like he's pretty serious because don't you think that it seems serious to me that he really wants to be a successful college coach because, you know, he went to HBCU ranks and whether or not, you know, he said he would like to, you know, get HBCU teams on a national level. I don't think that's ever going to happen and recognition. But he went to those ranks to the bottom. When I'm sure he could have joined like an NFL staff as like DB's coach, things like that. Like he could have took an easier route. So I'm thinking like, you know, he took a very tough route to get some success. So to me, that displays that he seems pretty serious. Like, do we think that he probably couldn't have got on NFL staff as like, I mean, who wouldn't know if the opening as DB's coach or something, like some type of analyst? Seems like he could have got on an NFL staff or even a more prominent college football staff. even if it's just an analyst role. So for him to take the job, lowest on the totem pole, try to work his way up, I think he's pretty serious about it.
Yeah, because the way I view a lot of these former athletes is they'll go to the press box, they'll become an analyst for like Fox or whatever, when they don't really want to give the crazy effort. But if you go to the coaching side, you are giving that effort. So there's got to be some sort of drive.
Making more money as an analyst than he is a Jackson State head football coach.
So it can't be. It's a passion project right here. And if there's passion, there's a chance to prove.
Well, he's still getting paid by Barstool.
Barstool, yeah. I know he does. He has a series with Barstool. Coach Prime. Coach Prime, yeah. That episode drops.
I mean, he left being an analyst for Barstool before then he left to be a head coach.
Yeah. All very true. 865-546-8200. Last call on the other side. One last segment for us on this hump day. Keep it locked here. We're about to finish it up. This is The Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio.
Your next chance.
All right. Now we travel down to Tampa.
Uh-oh.
That's right. It's by way of, or actually, Vero Beach.
Is this one just Gronk?
Nah, this is not Gronk. This is Vero Beach, Florida. A Florida man was charged with marijuana possession and license plate light violation. They got him pulled over this past weekend. However, that's not why he was arrested, but that's how that catapulted this moving violation into the limelight. According to the Tampa Times, Brandon McComas, always Brandon, was driving a silver sedan in Vero Beach, Florida on Monday night when a sheriff's deputy noticed his car's license plate light was out and proceeded to signal to the driver to a stop. As the arrest report shows, though, the deputy approached the driver's side door and quickly noticed McComas attempting to conceal a large bulge in his left front pocket.
Was it an alligator?
No, it was not an alligator, Charlie. As a result, the deputy conducted a pat-down search on McComas, fearing that the bulge might be some kind of weapon that could be used against him. When McComas was questioned about the large bulge in his pants, he simply replied, "That's what she said." Unhumored by McComas' portrayal of Michael Scott from The Office, and unable to determine what the bulge was, the deputy placed him in handcuffs and conducted a thorough search. McComas finally yelled out, "It's just weed!" Allegedly, once the search began and the more extensive search revealed that the bulge had nothing to do with McComas' male anatomy, but that it was a cylindrical plastic case containing marijuana and a small glass pipe. A subsequent search of his car turned up a second pipe that McComas reportedly claimed was his. The 31-year-old male was arrested for marijuana possession and cited for the defective license plate light. He was released Tuesday morning on $500 bond and waits trial. Wow. What's that bulge in your pants, son? Is that a weapon? That's what she said.
I'm kind of disappointed, though, that today neither Florida man story involved hard drugs or an alligator.
No, well, it's not McComas' first time behind bars.
I think the first story did involve hard drugs. We just didn't get all the way into
all the details.
Yeah, there's some drugs involved there. Includes charges for disorderly conduct, domestic battery, disorderly intoxication, and cocaine trafficking, for which he spent 3 years in state prison.
Woo!
He's had an extensive, long, long line of dealing with the law, as they like to say. The law. But our Florida man story at hour number two, that comes to you by way of our friends of FanDuel. The biggest game of week three, though, that happens to be the Monday night matchup. It's the divisional matchup between the NFC East or the least, however you want to put it, between Philadelphia and Dallas. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger for you, because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That's right. Choose the Eagles, choose the Cowboys. 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL Week 3 right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. I like the Eagles in this one. I think Jalen Hurts has a I'm in the NFL moment. You know, like, welcome to the NFL. One of those things. Like, here I am against the Cowboys. I don't feel that great about the Cowboys. They're up and down. They're very tough to bet on. So I like the Eagles here. I'd put some same game parlays down on maybe a Jalen Hurts touchdown, maybe a Myles Gaskin touchdown, probably a CeeDee Lamb finding the end zone, and Amari Cooper. They balled out the last time they played on primetime on that Thursday night game to open the season. But you can do a same game parlay, a money line, spread, touchdown score, whatever you like. And offers like this are just one of the many reasons that we love betting on FanDuel. Number one rated sportsbook app in America. Easy to use, safe and secure, fast payouts. And FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with these great offers. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself, though, why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up today with promo code BLITZ this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must always be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users. Fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Hey, great show by us, if I do say so indeed. If you missed anything, hour number one is already up. Hour number two will be up as soon as we get out of here. A lot of things to talk about as the season goes along.
What state did I miss yesterday?
The state from yesterday, Charlie, was National New York Day.
Oh, my God. I just looked at today's days.
Go ahead and read them.
National Girls Night, Hobbit Day, Ice Cream Cone Day, Legwear Day, White Chocolate Day, Autumn Equinox, Deer Diary Day, Centurion Day, Elephant Appreciation Day, American Business Women's Day, National Online Recovery Day, International Day of Radiant Peace, World Rhino Day, World Carefree Day, World Car Free Day, World Narcolepsy Day.
Wow.
They had a lot that they like realized they needed to squeeze in or something. No, of course not.
That was a lot of days for you. A lot of days for you. Hey, that'll do it for us, though. Talk Sports is up next with John and the boys tomorrow. We will have top four, middle four, bottom four. You will not want to miss that. We'll have Punishment Friday, Thursday night football, Thursday night college football, jam-packed show tomorrow. For Charlie Collier, for GP3, for Ryan, I am Chance Collins. We'll do it all again tomorrow right here on the Blitz. Keep it locked up next for more Fan Run Radio.